Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. You've tuned in one more time to Grassroots Talks. I'm your host, Showtime, and I'm glad to be talking to you because I'm going to tell you what time it is. We're going to have a very interesting conversation today, but I want to first get the sponsorship out the way. The show is being brought to you by GRCN, Connecting Communities, a nonprofit agency that has dedicated itself to supporting our youth in their transition from childhood to adulthood. It's also brought to you by ABC Learn, which is a tutoring organization that helps kids learn how to read. It don't get no basic than that, but is obviously one of the most important necessities in life as our children prepare to navigate into adulthood. And also, the Alexander Academy. You're going to have to find out about what they do because they tutor a special type of young people who give them that extra one-on-one and more celebrity types, you know. But it's kind of cool. They're really cool because we've joined forces, all three of us, to work with the Flashback Academy. And we're going to be having an open house on May 28th over in the city of Pacoima because Flashback Academy will actually open its doors and teach one of the components out of this particular location, 11076 Norris Avenue in Pacoima, just in case you want to know where it is, at 10 o'clock on Saturday the 28th. We're going to be teaching the multimedia, international broadcasting, and we got it down. There's some bad people across this country who are the best in the game, who we will offer some technology and some streaming that nobody else is going to be able to match. Our primary, while the school is open to everybody, our primary student body will be made up of those who are disabled, whether it be physically, mentally, or whatever else is in the middle of that. Our veterans, the people who have risked their lives for our country, for our freedom, so we can sit up here on the air and talk about stuff. And also, we will be focusing in, which is more dear to me, our foster youth. Those that a lot of people made a lot of money off of them while they was in the system. However, once they've emancipated out of the system, they are no longer a paycheck. I know that sounds kind of harsh because there has been some effort by the county and there are some well-meaning people. But because of the way that the system is built, our kids can't stay at them group homes no more. And also the program enables them because our kids are very, very, very smart and they really don't want to grow up. They want to have their way. We call it an attitude of entitlement. Well, at the end of the day, that has backfired because over 80% of our youth that emancipate out of group home and foster care end up on the street, in jail, or dead within the first year. Something's wrong with that picture. However, we're not sitting around waiting for anybody to fix it. I listened very carefully to our current president. Actually, I was in Washington, and I heard him say, "Do not depend on me. You can do it." And I just really respected that empowerment. I know some of the people like the Al Sharptons and a few others want to have a three-day conference to talk about the black agenda with the president. That man ain't got time for that because it is not about a black agenda. It is about an American agenda and figure out what works for all of us. So, yeah, are there some problems? Absolutely. But, you know, I think that Brother Al is very, very wrong with that one. And hopefully he'll get past himself so that he can go ahead and move on and maybe do some of the things that we're trying to do. Work with your community. Do y'all realize that the majority of the things that have made for betterment of the African American people was actually done through the churches? So Al must have forgot that because I know it's a whole lot of churches and it's a boatload of money coming through. Y'all can work at fixing a lot of things that's going on. And, you know, Jesse ran for president. He opened the way. So guess what? Go get into the politics, too, if that's what you want to do. But don't just sit there and expect somebody else to fix it there for you, okay? Brother Al Sharpton. Now, I'm going to talk about today's topic, which is distraction versus attraction. And I know this is going to offend some people, but hey, get beside yourself and let's really talk about if there is really an issue. I'm just asking a question. Do women belong in the workplace? Ooh. Are women a distraction in the workplace? By being in the workplace, does that affect the fabric of the home environment or how the children are being raised? Yeah, I could go and bash on the fathers, and I'm not going to give any of us a pardon either, okay? So I'm starting off with that particular topic. Are women in the workforce a attraction or a distraction? I was speaking to one of my colleagues, a professor out at UCLA the other day, and the debate was centered around our women who are in business, but they make decisions based off of their emotions a lot. Not all of them, okay? Ain't going to be no blanket in none of this. So miss me with that because I won't debate that with you. But the majority that I have run into and what studies have shown is that's a real part of the business world where the emotion, we're human beings, so we're going to be emotional. But does that emotion get in the way with logic and sound business sense? I think that's what I'm talking about. Now, if you would like to chime in, you can write me at flashbks@gmail.com with your comments, or you can go ahead and call in to the show right now. I'll identify you on our switchboard with our engineer. That number is 657-383-0162. I'm going to say that again. If you want to call in and you have time, go ahead and hit us at 657-383-0162. Now, I also would like for you to go find Flashback Academy so you can see what we're doing. And it just keeps getting better and better because one of the things that I have learned a while ago, you don't have to be bossy to be a boss. You need to empower people. Let them know that you're going to stand behind them. When they make a mistake, y'all huddle up and figure out how to fix it, so long as the issue that where the mistakes were made wasn't about the integrity and honesty, because, you know, we can make a mistake or two. But when we talk about things that might have natural consequences like going to jail, you know, sorry, if you're wrong, I'm going to be there with the handcuffs on you. But in the workplace, let's talk about what a distraction can be. And I'm not just going to leave this part on the women part because that may not be fair. But I will ask a couple of questions. Should women stay in the kitchen? That's cold and chauvinistic and out of the business world. This was what a question that one of my audience wrote in, but I'm not going to hide behind it because I didn't have to say it unless I really wanted to see what that answer would be. Are men more successful in business? Are women just an attraction versus a distraction? Okay. And do women harass men at work? Whoa. Okay. Well, let's tackle that. I'll do it in reverse. Yes. Harassment, yes, no doubt about it. It may not be as overt, but it's subtle with hints, moves, and distractions. Does that affect work productivity? Yes. And what's the solution? Y'all can call me up, calling in now, but I'm going to finish this thought. Oh, they're texting in. Okay, this is cool. One of the things that could better the work environment was to have a dress code, they say. Okay, that's fine with me. If that's your policy and if the dress code is out of whack, I'm sure you have an HR department and you'll do what's necessary to get that corrected. I like that idea. Now, can men dress, overdress, and be provocative? Absolutely. I don't really know what that looks like because I'm probably the biggest square when it comes to dressing. But if men are doing that, you know, maybe with the shirt out or something, they need to check that, okay? Now, that other question I thought that was really interesting. It's good to have healthy people at your work environment, especially if your work environment is customer service oriented, because people, when your customers come to you, they want to see success. They don't want to see a bunch of sloppy people. And what was that about the plumber guy with the rear end of their crack showing and all of that kind of good stuff, okay? Or when you walk in there, they see just cleavage as soon as they hit the door. You know, let's tone that down maybe. And you employers, go and check with your HR to make sure that you know what your rules and your laws are, because HR policies and procedures change a lot. Don't just assume that you know because maybe you worked at Walmart once or twice, okay? Be smart and be proactive. But now, what was that other question? Are men more successful in business? I think that's a case by case. But I am admitting that I believe that women run their businesses, the majority of them, with their emotions. But as far as success, I can name a few folks that roll in dough and got attitudes and this emotional thing too. Let's go with J-Lo. J-Lo produces movies and music and has been a great actor or actress. But the word out is that she got an attitude and she's hard to work with. And she harasses people on the job. And in any kind of harassment you're thinking about, that's what the word has been that people have said. Okay? Now, we can look at some other women. We know Oprah, a very successful businesswoman. Many have said that she is one of the richest persons in the world. I mean, my God, that must be a whole lot of cheddar, huh? But is she easy to work for? Some people say no, but apparently some people say yeah. It just depends on sometimes the employee. And maybe sometimes they have to look at desensitizing themselves. You know, but if a boss hollers and screams at you in front of other employees, that's not cool. Show tact and sensitivity. And I don't have to talk about celebrities. I know a very successful person here in Los Angeles. They rake in a couple million dollars a year. But what they do, they put someone else up to do their dirty work. Well, that's pretty bad, okay? But and they're dealing with lawsuits left and right. And they'll probably be out of business within the next year or two because they are not able to adapt to this environment where people are just not going to take that anymore. Now, the other question was, should they stay in the kitchen? That is so chauvinistic because we have a lot of stay-at-home dads, too, if that's what you're talking about. And they're more comfortable to do that, although most men are, they gauge their success and even their self-worth on their ability to earn. But if their relationships become solid enough, the guy can stay home and take care of all of the things that used to normally be reserved for women, and the woman can go out and be the breadwinner and everybody's cool. However, in a lot of relationships, though, it is a strain when the woman makes more money than the guy because of what I just stated, that the guy seems to be a tad bit bent out of shape. So, nevertheless, that stuff kind of happens sometime. But I think it's a really poor, poor choice of words to suggest that women do not belong in the workforce. That's but I can tell you historically where that actually started at, with women really getting into the workforce. It became important for a city or even this country to continue to survive and build aircraft and other weapons while the men were off at war. The women were taking the places on the assembly lines. And you can look that up since we're internet radio. I'm sure you can multitask. But that's really where it all came from, Rosie the Riveter and all of that kind of good stuff. And ended up staying in the workforce, even when the guy came home. Hey, sometime the guy came home disabled, couldn't go to work because he was having flashbacks or whatever the case might be. Man, he had something shot off. Who knows? But I guess the big thing is discrimination is something that irks me in any form or fashion, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be in sports. I was at a basketball game some time ago, and You know, the guys were out there doing what they do and talking a lot of trash. Time that just goes with it. Depends on maybe mostly what part of town you're in. But there was a couple of females that showed up, and the guys, you could tell they were starting to show off and play a little bit more aggressive, throw in a few more fancy moves, and it was only because the females were out there, okay? And they wound up losing because they were so busy being distracted. But that wasn't necessarily a work field, workforce, because if you look at the NBA, you look at the college, they all got cheerleaders. Those cheerleaders could be a distraction if that person's not stable and not focused enough, if you ask me. I think that whole statement of do they belong in the workforce is a dumb question. That's my answer to it, okay? How about every able-bodied man and woman and child, you know, bring it. Now, children, do they need to be working? Yeah. Because it will start those of earning and getting what you earn needs to start at a very young age. And this is why partially we have to build Flashbacks Academy. Because when you enable a child and don't teach them the basic responsibilities of how to be an earner rather than just somebody giving you something, they grow up and they take. Or they expect, and they wind up making some really poor decisions, let's put it like that, okay? So, people need to be in the workforce, okay? And people who are not able, we're going to be having our next show come on, hosted by, I believe, Dr. Arnanda. And the question that is going to be proposed will be, when does your disability become your excuse? Yeah, going down to, I'm talking about if you're able, but the reality is sometimes people are more depressed that enables them from actually earning and or at least giving it a shot. Here's my comparison. Everybody's disability is different, okay? I get that. But there was a guy that I saw on one of these NOVA-type National Geographics, a spokesman, he's a scientist, recognizes one of the most brilliant minds in the world. This guy is in a wheelchair. He's drooling out the mouth. He's slumped over. He drives around by making one little finger move in his wheelchair that he will be in for the rest of his life. Hold on. I don't stop there. He can't talk. How's he a brilliant mind? Because science and its technology has got him plugged in where whatever he's thinking, it turns into something on his mind through this machine. Lips not moving, nothing. He's just staring out, drooling. But this boy is bad. I can't remember his name right now, but you guys probably all know who I'm talking about. So then remember this one guy, he got his legs blew off over in Middle East, whichever one it was in. But the point was, he goes, wow, this is going to be interesting. And everybody was all sad. He goes, what, I'm going out for the Olympics now, okay, for disabled people. This is not going to stop me. It just gives me a different opportunity because in the real setting, I probably wouldn't have been the fastest runner, okay? But I can train myself to do some other things now because I am going to live. And that went for women and men, you know. So when does the disability becomes the excuse? We'll be our show. Hey, it's the end of our show now. I want to thank y'all. Get ready for some new shows coming up very, very soon. We hope that you folks attend our open house of opening up the first segment of Flashback Academy for those who have emancipated out of the foster care system, the veterans who have come home, and those who are disabled that need an opportunity to learn how to do something other than work at McDonald's. No disrespect, Mickey D, but there are better opportunities when our communities pull together, such as the Alexander ABC Learn. and GRCN Connecting Community, supporting Flashback Academy. We also want to thank Edison Corporation, you know, the people that are in charge of making the lights come on, who have also donated and supported us and many others. In the meantime, I want you to remember the whole world's a stage, but it's all about the part that you play. Again, for joining us on our show. And stay tuned because we will be back next week, but you can also take a look at our social media. My handle on Twitter is at FlashBKS, so that ain't going to be that hard to find. And you'll probably find Grassroots Technologies, which is where GRCN is located, on Facebook. At any rate, write us, and we'll link up with you at FlashBKS@gmail.com. Have a wonderful day.